Hey everybody, this is Mel and Brooke from Mom's Art 2. Okay, before we start the episode, stop listening right now and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you want to watch us make a fool of ourselves, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Mom's Art 2 and get video episodes each week.
All right, on to the show.
We are just two moms in search of inspiration
while creating questionable comedy.
Moms Art 2.
Silly.
What?
Silly.
What?
So this is Sean Gannett, who is incredible. And he and I have been friends since I was a teenager.
I've known you since like April of 1997 when we started at the Cleveland Improv. When I started at the Cleveland Improv,
yeah,
as a doorman. And you, yeah, were...
I was there in 95.
You were a server. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. 2 years before I did. So I knew you since 1997. That's crazy.
Okay. So I was 20. I mean, man. Four.
Right.
We always pretend we're younger than we are.
Yeah.
So Sean and I have known each other since we were kids, and he came into the improv as a doorman, but he's always obviously been so funny. And we have this group of... Now, road comics have groups everywhere they go, right? You guys always have... Sean eventually became a road comic and a very successful one. And he's really, really funny. But we've known each other forever, ever, ever. And he has internet movies. He has... shorts that he puts up on the internet that are so funny.
I mean, this is Audibles.
He's so, yeah.
Cool,
please stop stealing.
I'm sorry, I'm not used to it, and I feel it.
She's stealing my earphone.
We're doing that.
She's going like this.
You naturally wove your arm through the cord and went, hey.
I did. Like this. That's my hand motions. You can see, like, that's how I talk.
It is.
Okay, so if nobody can see that, if you're on YouTube, yeah, you're already knowing this, but if not, go on YouTube and subscribe to our channel, because then you'll also get to see Sean's videos, which are fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
But we are, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to make any excuses anymore.
Sure.
It's fucking hard.
We don't have any headphones.
I want to cry.
Or each our own headphones. So we got creative, and we got the old school. Thank God you kept it.
Well, it's
plug
Charlie's.
In. Well, yeah. Thank God Charlie kept it.
I went inside and tore something out of the drawer and was like, do you have fucking headphones going to the thing? And he was like, yes, I'll be right back.
Well, I got makeshift, like on some of my lights, not this one, but some of the ones that are over in the corner there. Like, I've got homemade ghetto rigged, because that's, yeah, just what you got to do. Make it work type.
Yes.
And it works if you really, I don't know, you know how to fit it to what you need it for, purpose, yes, it for what you need it for. And I use a lot of parchment paper for as filters. You know?
Oh, that's a good,
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
So, like, my wife is like, hey, we're out of parchment paper. I just bought,
and I haven't baked in years.
Costco. Yeah, we went to just Costco and bought like a 5-pack of them. What are? I'm like, yeah, but they're filters now, the light boxes, huh? Yeah.
Like, oh, Sean.
Yeah, but it works though. Like, you find these ways to make it work. And but yeah, I'm totally with you. I like that. I like I know what your studio looks like around it. But it looks,
oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
It ain't this pretty.
But I love that about it. It's like it looks like a black box theater, but
yeah,
no one knows that from that, just in,
well,
the
now
frame.
They do.
Well, now they do. Yeah, it's a shithole.
Yeah.
No, I'm just,
we're going to put this in.
I have
in
a really nice house. I just said. Oh, yeah, you should.
We're going to edit,
in.
But it looks great what you've done with it. I like the little,
yay,
light in the background,
you,
the old timey light and the plant. And yeah.
He said old timey.
You make it work is what I'm saying. Like, no one knows.
We have to. All of my life is duct taped together, Sean.
But like, even in like major motion pictures and all that TV, like they're just doing the same thing that you're doing and we're doing, but on a more of expensive level. Or but they're just using what they've got at their disposal. Hey, make this work quick. It just happens to be the latest technology or whatever.
On the stage, we do the same thing. It's like,
right,
oh, just whatever. We got to like make this work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We use a lot of styrofoam. We need styrofoam.
And double backed,
yeah, yeah,
tape.
Yeah.
Double sided.
Mostly for our boobs, though.
Pretty
command
much.
Strips. Oh, okay.
Ooh, command,
well,
strips.
For,
that's
okay,
a good idea, actually.
That, well, no, don't put that on your skin. Oh, my God.
Silly. What?
Sean, I really appreciate you being here, and I really appreciate that you're going to return periodically because we like being around you and you're lovely.
Yes. Yeah, so for everybody that you know, this is our first segment of
Farting Around with Friends.
Fart, fart, fart.
With friends.
So Sean, you are the first.
You're the first.
The first friend
we're farting around with.
We even wrote a jingle.
Yeah.
Which
we have a jingle.
At this point, would have already just played.
And you all just heard it.
Y'all just heard.
Sean will be back with us many times. He's one of our farting friends.
I hope so.
And we've already mentioned at the top of the episode, because clearly that was the top of the episode.
It was. I'm just saying it again.
Okay, it's fine. We watched a documentary with Sean that really moved us. And Brooke is going to explain what it is. And I know that Sean has a lot to say about it. So we're going to get into it.
Oh, boy.
Okay, there is a documentary called Three Identical Strangers. It came out in 2018, but it's about identical triplets who become separated at birth and adopted by three different families. Years later, their amazing reunion becomes a global sensation, and it also unearths an unimaginable secret that has radical repercussions.
This is crazy. I honestly went into this thing thinking, oh, I know what this is about. They were separated at birth. They found each other. Oh my God, it was so great. They had all these things in common. And you know who recommended this to us? Was Des, Mark Gross's wife.
Oh,
I
really?
Asked her, I was like, what should we do? Yeah. What should we watch? And she sent this immediately. And I thought, I think I already saw this, but boy, was I wrong.
I was judging a book by its cover because I watched it on Hulu and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Cool. Can we swear on this?
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then it was like really well done, by the way, and they get right to the point, no fluff, and just right to it. And then like I love it because it's these New Yorkers, and that's what New Yorkers are, right to the point. I was driving my car, it's called the old bitch anyway.
Had a green hood.
You know, it's just like right into it. And they get you right. I'm like, what? I was the same way. I was like, what is this?
Or you kind of feel like you already know what's going to happen. So I thought I was kind of going in. All right, I'm going to have to figure out if it's nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
And then we got flung down a fucking cavern.
And I had seen it before. I'd seen it before and forgotten.
Is this going to be, are there going to be spoilers? Are we okay to spoil this?
No spoilers yet. We'll wait because we have to wait because people, if they listen to the whole episode, we get more points on Apple Podcasts.
Okay, good. Good to know. Oh my God. Because I was about to say, and another thing.
No,
yeah.
We have to wait.
Speaking of the ending.
So it starts out with these three, with this one boy who goes to college, right? He goes to a community college, but they're staying in dorms, which seemed weird to me.
I felt the same way. I'm like,
Who stays in?
It was the eight. It was 1980.
What does that fucking mean?
I guess people like
stayed in their dorms.
City colleges had some dorms.
Whatever.
Well, yeah.
No, we had, I think we had them in Indiana though. Like Vincennes.
That's a
made-up
word.
It's a community college, and I think it was dorms. Like people went there. Like they went and lived there and went to school, but it was a community school.
So Bobby goes to college in his bitch, his car, bitch.
His old bitch.
His old
the
bitch.
The old bitch that he named, that's what he nicknames. Yeah.
And he goes to college and he is walking on the first day and he's nervous and stuff. And all these people start coming up to him and hugging him and girls kissing him on the lips, which by the way, if you're ever cast as a girl that needs to kiss somebody on the lips, I was kind of feeling like, I would take that job. But
these people were coming up to him like they knew him. They're like, hey, and he's like, I don't know any of it. They're not just being nice,
right?
That was the for him, that freaked him out. They're like, they're just like, hey, how's it going? They're like, hey, you again.
Yeah. And the fact like, that he that, divulged that he was nobody at school, like nobody knew him, you know,
was it the captain of the football team, not popular with anybody. Yeah
Is this college or going to college? Is everybody just this friendly until it got a little out of hand?
Right, that was kind of funny.
And then he goes into his dorm room and this kid walks in who knows that the person that looks like him has dropped out of college, and he goes up to him and I don't even think he says like, are you ready? He just says,
when's your birthday?
No.
When's
your birthday? Yeah.
And then they realize that he's like, you have a fucking twin.
Yeah.
And so they go speeding down the road. Or no, first they go to the phone and they go to call and he's like, his name is Eddie. So they call Eddie and Bobby's like, I hear my own voice on the other line. So they go to Eddie's house. They get stopped by a cop They go to Eddie's house and they open the door and he's like, it's me. It's him fucking looking back at me. Bobby's like, I can't believe it. It's this guy looking back at me. That's me. And
their mannerisms were the same. And he was like, and it's just inherently like,
yeah, you know, it's just, that's crazy. Why it freaked him out.
Like, which leads to what I feel like was kind of the overall theme, right, of this documentary was the nature versus nurture.
Right.
And they kept teasing both.
Yeah.
You know, like showing you how, and then, well, then we'll get
could
to
go
what,
one way, yeah. could go the other way, but mostly they were leaning towards nature, right? Like they had the same hands, they had the same mannerisms, all these things.
They like the same things.
They like the same things. Well, so Bobby and Eddie are discovered, right? They discover each other. They are like, we can't believe this is happening. They both knew that they had been adopted, so it wasn't like a shock. They didn't learn, yeah. like,
right.
oh shit, and I'm adopted. So then somebody finds out, writes an article about it. They put it in the post, and then this kid sees it with his mom.
And he's like, why is that my friend? Why are those She's like, two is of this my your, friends?
Is this you or whatever? And they look at the hands and they know that it's David. There's a third.
Yeah, they're like, got these big meaty hands. Yeah, yeah. Like
they did,
like Eddie over here, same hands. I swear to God, you can break lobster. You ever see Splash? Yeah, she rapes open that lobster. That's what it's
did they
hands.
Say that? I didn't hear. I don't remember that part.
They said it was the hands that were like big, thick, and meaty.
I
hands.
I remember
like,
those hands in Splash when they rip open the lobster.
He added that.
But maybe I was thinking of Seinfeld.
Oh, I was like, did they say that?
Where she breaks
Seinfeld
the bread.
And Splash, actually. Yeah. Doesn't Daryl Hannah like just open up a.
Oh, yeah. But they did have meaty hands. I'll tell you what. That picture
they
was
did.
Really.
But I thought that was a funny observation to be like, they're identical twins. That's enough. No, it's the hands. I look at the hands first.
I can tell that. Like, I can see that a little bit. Like, if somebody looks like me, like Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, yeah. You start looking to corroborate what else.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the hands are, yeah.
That
sure.
can't
the
be true until, and then you look down and you're like, no, that's the deciding factor. So they all had meaty sure. hands. So they realize that they're brothers and, which that tells us so much about the rest of their body. Like they didn't compare other parts, although they did talk about.
I bet you smile. They did.
Of course they fucking did. They definitely saw each other's dicks. They had to.
Well, yeah, yes. they were. Of yes. course they did. They had that conversation. They all said,
what's
yes.
your dick look like? Is it meaty as your hands?
Yeah.
It's like a thumb.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
it was
yeah.
thumb like, I'm sure.
I would have really long, skinny penises. Well, I'd only have one penis.
Yeah, yeah. Peni.
But your penis is supposed to be shaped like your thumb. You do not have to answer this or show us.
Is it a thumb on thumb? I'm just trying to give people a.
I don't know. This is a weird.
No,
am I going to get in trouble?
No, I don't want to see your thumb. I've known you too long. Yeah. I don't need to see your thumb.
I know. That's weird. That's like my
but
sister.
But our audience might.
I don't ask either. Your wife. I promise you.
Well, we'll ask Vicky. later conversation. We'll have her on the show.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh my
so
God, that would. Be, oh my
they
God.
They meet each other. They realize they meety. They
know,
meet
yeah.
each other. I said
that
meet
down.
Each other.
They meet each other. They realize that they are obviously brothers. They're twins, and then they've all been adopted from the same adoption agency, this Jewish adoption agency in
Louise Wise
Adoptions.
They focused on adopting out Jewish children predominantly.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that to Jewish families. Yeah. Or whatever. Anyway, so.
And the woman that ran it, not the founder. Did you notice this? But the woman that they were showing.
Yeah,
they interviewed her. She reminded me of Margaret Hamilton from Wizard of Oz.
Oh, a little bit. Woman, yeah.
She had like esque, like in that ballpark. If you watch it, you could fast forward through that and look.
Look for the girl.
She had Wicked Witch of the West.
Well, people have to watch the whole episode if they're listening to this.
Yeah.
They're required.
Because she's not editing.
So then they realize, right? Then everything blows up and they realize what's going on and they start doing TV appearances. They do Donahue, which was huge.
They're doing all the shows. They're on People Magazine. Yeah. Like,
they were on the Today Show.
They were in Madonna's movie.
That's right.
That's
Madonna said, I love that.
I know
I was
who
like,
you
what?
Are. Be in my movie.
Did you like my?
Is that is good? Not how she sounds.
In the 80s, I think she sounded like that.
Maybe.
She doesn't.
I'm going to go with that's how
British.
She sounded. That's how she sounds now.
Yeah. Now she's like, British.
Be in my movie.
Yeah.
That's it? Is that right?
Now her face doesn't move. Yeah.
That's fine. I don't care. She's I love her forever. She's turning into cat lady. I don't care.
I don't know. It's getting weird.
I don't care. I don't know. Love her forever. Okay. So they do.
She's got a special place in my heart, and not in a creepy way, but I love her music. Though.
Like
I
from
honestly
the
do.
80s and 90s.
Also, I like Janet Jackson more than Michael.
I'm going
but
to
that's
Janet
another podcast. Go
summer.
Ahead.
I'm going to Janet.
You are going to Janet.
Yeah, Hollywood Bowl.
I'll die on that hill. I'll die on the Janet Jackson hill.
Me too. Oh, me too.
More jams, better jams, different.
Yeah.
Michael's still good, but Janet,
I'm sorry. Man. You don't have to apologize.
Yeah,
to
but
me.
Michael's freaking me out a little bit lately. I can't. I'm having a hard time.
I know. It's just, it's too much.
It's in the market of R. Kelly. Like, it's I a just, really, I can't, no. You can't step in the name of love no more. You can't step in the
well,
name
you
of
can't,
love at a reception.
There's no R. Kelly. R. Kelly should not exist. No. There's no more of that.
There's
but
concerns.
Michael Jackson is like...
Stop it. Did you watch the documentary?
I
That's
did.
Another documentary. I'm not talking
we can
about
watch
that
one.
No,
we shouldn't watch
no.
that one. We should watch
oh,
it. We should not
talk
have an opinion
about
that.
That shit's gross.
But these three dudes just blew up.
Circle back to that.
What? That's how I always
but
talk.
But they started like, so they were together. They got an apartment together. They were going to
Club
you
54.
Know, Studio 54.
Yeah.
Club 54.
Is that a thing?
No, it's
okay,
Studio 54.
Studio 54. They were like partiers in the 80s and it was amazing. And then they were like all over the place. And then their parents come in and are mad. And they're all like, we don't like, why are you mad? We're together. And they realize that none of them had even been told, obviously, that these kids were separate at birth. So they go to the agency. They have it out with them and they leave. And the one dad goes back in because he forgets an umbrella.
Oh,
and then
forgot
they
his
say,
umbrella.
Yeah. And then he sees them like clanking champagne.
Celebratory.
Yeah.
Champagne.
As, like, we
like
got
they dodged
out of
a bullet. Like they were celebrating like they like a that was a close
yeah.
one. Type of
so he's like,
but the fact that they had the champagne ready.
Wow, that's some evil shit, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about this new thing that we found is called Moonlight. It's amazing. We're still reading to our kids at night, and I can be honest with you. Sometimes it's tedious because we're reading the same book over and over and over and over. Well, let me tell you, Moonlight is incredible. The magic of Moonlight is simple. It's the experience of reading together with a projection on the wall because tablets, yes, are a staple for many families. And digital books can be overstimulating sometimes for little kids. And honestly, they leave little room for imagination. But Moonlight bridges the gap between traditional and digital books. There are playful projections, vivid sound effects, and read-along features make this multi-sensory story time a delight. Moonlight is here to help you create imagination-filled, interactive bedtimes for your whole family and make story time magical again. Use the code MOONLIGHT10 with our link to get an extra 10% off your purchase. It's very cool. So these boys start, they get married, they meet their loves, they start having kids.
I was just going to say, I love the setup on a lot of this. Yeah. And as we go through it, you'll see, you'll hear us kind of, I don't know, like,
oh, we
flash.
Picked our nose at the yeah. same time. Go ahead.
I had a little, it's, I had a bitch,
that was great.
Not a booger.
We're like the triplets.
Oh, we are like the triplets.
When were you born?
Oh, yeah. Sean, when is your birthday?
July 21st.
Okay.
Oh, so you're a Cancer.
A certain year. Yeah. Cancer.
Cancer Leo.
Cancer Leo.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I have a couple good friends that are in that birthday range. Anyway, I like how the way, much like you were talking about how it was produced, where they set you up on these things. So they expose that and then you kind of don't, they leave it laying there and then
yeah.
they go into some other stuff and then it all kind of circles back and you
yeah.
go, oh.
Because they had so much things alike. They like the same cigarettes. They like the same kind of women. They move the same way. They had all these things yeah. that were, and so like, oh my God, like we were separated at birth and the parents were pissed at the agency and like, how could you do this to these babies? And then.
So they're setting up for the nature argument.
Right.
Right. They're kind of setting.
And they all
it
had
up.
Older sisters.
And they all
Did I say
had
that?
Older sisters.
Adopted older sisters that were the
They all
exact
have adopted
same
older
age.
Sisters. All three of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That should have been a clue. It's fine. We're not. Well, we cannot. We. I don't want to give away the ending.
I don't either.
But they
I don't
tied
either.
It into but the it is weird. Yeah. So yeah. That's what they were doing. They were tying it in with like the coincidences of liking smoking Marlboros and
yeah.
the same food and their sisters. It's just that's a lot.
So let me get to something. So we start. I know I was starting to think about like where's Eddie.
Right. Well, when
no
his
one's
wife
interviewed
said
any,
he was.
I was kind of like, I don't like this. I don't like where this is going. However, so then we get to a point where everybody's happy. Everybody's doing stuff. The boys open a restaurant together, like all this stuff
called triplets.
Right. Then this journalist comes in and he's like, something weird is going on here. So he starts looking into it and he realizes, should I say this?
Well, that's I don't know how much you want to talk. Get into it, but I'm bad at this type of like, what can I say? What can
well,
I not say?
It just
say,
depends you know, on what.
Let's hire a publicist real quick to 10? Help us out.
I didn't.
It just depends on like, are the people listening actually going to go watch this? Right.
Well, there's like three of us, because me, you, and Sean that are listening to this.
So that's the point.
Hey, well, let's do this.
All right, let's do it.
Watch this. Let's talk it out because I think all the stuff we really want to talk
that's
about
right,
we
is
have,
on the other end like, of it. Okay, so
it is. So, but you could preface it with spoilers. You know, like, hey, if you haven't watched
it. Yeah, that's good. So we find out.
Because there's the meat, all the meat and potatoes is what we really, you
the
know.
Meaty hands. Right? The meaty hands are at the end. The happy ending.
No!
The meaty hands are at the happy ending.
Did I say that?
You I think quit. I said it.
God. That's a hell of a happy ending with those big hands.
That's a
go
lot
ahead.
Of,
sorry.
That's a heavy happy ending.
That's an extra tip.
So, well, it's three tips. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Okay, so this journalist goes in and he realizes that these twins have been separated at birth and he thinks, okay, there's something weird going on here. And he finds out that this company, this adoption agency, was working with a doctor who was separating twins at birth for an experiment.
Through this adoption agency, so like just them,
just them, and then so there's more. We don't, God knows how many other twins, triplets, whatever, were adopted out separately, and they're asking like, it, the, you know, is this because they want to find out about mental illness and what happens with mental illness when you're adopted out, and you know all these things, and you know, do you still
or
have
I think it?
It
was originally like nature nurture.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
they were
yeah,
originally
yeah.
trying to see
yeah.
if,
yeah.
like, they were trying to put that argument to rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why were they always being put into families that had an older sister, adopted sister?
That's the question.
To keep the variables low,
yes,
right?
Because like, they had to have the variables. So they had to figure out, like, okay, so this guy goes out. He's a journalist. He finds out that this experiment is going on. And they find out, we'll talk about Little Miss LaJala in California in a moment, but they find out that basically what they did was they made sure that all of the adopted twins were put into families that had an older sibling, because the older sibling being adopted from the same agency would give them the idea of what the parenting skills was like. So they knew from the older sibling what their parenting skills in all of these different families were. And then they could say, well, we're going to split up these triplets and put them in these families where we already know this one is a middle class.
Middle
this
class,
one isn't a
lower class. Well, quote.
So the older sister class. Was almost like the inside man.
Yeah.
It was it like or like.
I don't know if
like
she knew.
No. Not unknowingly.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
but already
she was
there,
the first pawn. She
thing.
Was the first pawn.
But also why female? Is it because females comprehend and
more
adapt?
Nurturing, maybe?
I don't know. But they must have
and help foster and nurture their
but
younger.
They were
hey,
sending,
I don't know.
Sending people out to their houses and doing videos of them and tests of them.
Throughout
and
their
all the boys
childhood.
Remember, right. They remember all these people coming and doing these videos. And it was because they were fucking being experimented on.
And how interesting was it when they started to interview the gentleman who was at the time one of the assessors that came out and gave the tests
okay,
to the
bye.
Different triplets.
Mm-hmm. And the 24-year-old guy? Yeah. Let's talk. There's two villains in this
there's
story.
There's two villains. Sorry, yes.
Right. Yeah. But and how interesting or how honestly disconnected and scientific, like their minds stay even when we're talking about she human was la-
so lack Miss, of empathy. Little Miss LaJala, who lives in LaJala, California. I don't remember her name, but she has like
another lack of empathy person.
Yeah. Pictures of her and Obama, and she has all these things, and she's putting up pictures and da da da.
She's written books, and she's like,
yeah. And then she goes back and talks about this. She's like, I was only there for 10 months, but. Yeah, we separated the twins because we wanted to see, and it was back in the '60s. Like,
you have to think of the mindset back then. When
that's, we didn't give a shit the way about she, kids. The, but the way you could tell how someone really feels is here's how I know she knows she fucked up.
Yeah.
Because she was like, because if you honestly believe that, if you honestly believed in the science and your hard work, sure. I'm sure that you put a lot of thought into these, that Dr. Neubauer or whatever his name was. I'm sure he, put a lot of thought and time into these experiments, and sure, but at what cost? I think she knows better. I think she knew what the cost was, because that's why she's like, hey, but you have to understand, it was a time back in the 60s in New York, and it was the time of experimental psychiatry.
It was, and you know,
just stand by your shit. If you really believe it, just say, we did it. Was it fucked up? Yeah, but we got results. Okay. You're still a bag of shit.
Yeah.
But Stan, don't preface it by it was a time when.
But that's kind of the
that's also the society that we're living in too. Is like we look back on our greatest generation or whatever, and we make excuses. Well, it's a different generation. Well, it's still fucking racist, right? Or it's still fucking
that's
bigoted.
Like make America great again,
or great, it's a different time, right?
You know what I mean?
But on a basic primal, you're breaking up family. That transcends
right.
Well, can I
that
just
goes
say,
beyond shit. Yeah. Like
something that popped into my head, and you think about this during that time, especially coming out of World War II, you did have people, and I thought about this. They didn't make this connection, but there's just some correlations where I was like, oh, this is interesting. But after World War II, you had people who were psychologists and that worked for the Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought them here, and they kept
them safe.
A lot
of declassification.
Yes, to work in the higher education.
Yeah.
And they were doing
experiments
on human people.
Yeah.
So, at that time, it made me think. I was like, that's about the time when they were justifying this.
Yeah.
They were doing these kinds of things at a government level.
Which
I find is like, why they sealed. So to move forward a little, they did not, they sealed these records. All of the research, 2060, it's sitting 2060 at Harvard.
2066
like
or something.
Yeah.
Until 2066.
So these people are dead because
they
don't want them to know what they found.
But not only that, but then they... redacted some things and
they released
blocked
them
out names, so you know better.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The fact that you did that, you know better.
So what I loved
it's not
about
such
them.
Wild times that we were influenced, you knew better.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's an interesting way that they left that open for you to kind of think about, or they don't really touch upon it, but they don't have to, because if you kind of know that part of history, you're sitting there going, I see.
Yeah. Yeah,
very interesting.
A lot of post World War II. Hey, how did you guys build that?
Yeah,
how did you make that? You know.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's crazy.
Fuck, man.
I get it.
It is.
It
evil,
could be helpful.
I feel like if
it
you know.
Saved, yeah.
And when those triplets, they actually showed the interview that they had with that gentleman I was just referring to that came and gave the tests. When they showed the two living of the triplets that video of him, they were just like. I just feel like a lab rat. Like they set us all up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys that went to their houses and did the videos and asked the questions and stuff like that. And he was reading at one point from one of the things. He's like, I'm not going to say their name, but he was hard on his parents. And he was like laughing. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how could you?
You're a real monster too. Like, I don't care. The fact that you're smiling and laughing, like you don't know, have any idea. You didn't live with the consequences of your actions.
Those are human beings.
These three boys did, and one of them killed themselves.
Yes. And
that's the thing. We didn't say that.
Sean just
isn't this going to be like, I know.
No, I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
I'm kidding.
But I also like
Eddie
the way.
Killed himself. Yeah. He had
but
some
you,
mental.
Like.
And that's the ending of the documentary. He killed. No,
yeah,
sorry.
Exactly.
But
he does. And that's shitty. Like those two people had just no empathy. Like you don't.
Yeah.
You don't, that's not how you
Yeah.
Show what you did was wrong. Like he was like, yeah, looking back is wrong.
Yes, right, like, and then I wanted to say to him, ha, I just saw your twin the other day. He's like, it really was hard for me not to say that to the kid.
I know somebody who just looks just like you.
And he's like, twin. Isn't that crazy?
Fuckers.
What?
But the
that tells me you still don't get it. After all these years, you still don't get it. Because you would never, you could be like of that mind, yeah, I did that, and that was really fucked up. Oh my God. And like someone could say, yeah, did you want to make notes about you look like the other house? Yeah, I did, and that was fucked up. None of that. None of that registering, like a person goes, yeah, I did. I was 24.
Yeah.
I didn't know who I was. None of that.
Yeah.
Didn't grow at all.
I do hope that maybe at the time they didn't understand how insensitive they were being, but yet after watching
they them should on in this interview, though,
I
know.
Do hope that they see that and go, wow, yeah, that does not.
No, but I feel like they should have known that before they did the interview.
Agreed. Like, yeah, but sometimes bad you people. Have to you lie to yourself sometimes about bad decisions you've made. You know, I'm not trying to make them, because what they did was wrong. But the fact that I'm all intertwined again in this court. But the fact that my hope is that they watched that and went, shit, that's not,
I agree.
Right? That's not,
I think.
Or maybe we're wrong. And maybe, you know, because I'm very human, and maybe I'm just being a dick and jumping and going, what the fuck is wrong with these people laughing and showing no remorse? But
no,
but
they were wrong.
Listening to your words too. Yeah. You know,
they were terrible. I think the biggest takeaway for me was that it was, they talked about the nature versus nurture. And so when they talked about when the boys were first separated, when they were babies, they banged their heads against their crib, or they banged their heads against their wall, or they held their breath until they passed out. And these were infants under 1 year old who didn't understand why a piece of them was ripped away. Right. But then they also, the parents never knew how to address it because they didn't know what happened. So they never knew that he's hurting because part of him is not there. And so they never knew how to fix it. So these kids grew up in the best homes that they could, even if, you know, one wasn't as loving or as focused or whatever as the other one. But the thing that I left with at the end, because the nature versus nurture is my first thing was nature, nature, nature. And then by the end, I started to think about the thing of nature is the babies banging their head against their crib. Their nature is telling them something is wrong, right? But
instinct, impulses.
Right. The nurture then throughout the rest of their lives then predicted. So there was a quote at the end of the thing that said, we drift in the direction of our genes, but that doesn't mean it's our destiny.
Right. And that's, I love
every moment you have is a choice.
Yeah.
Yes. But, and so when choices. So what I ended up taking away that it's both, right?
Yeah.
Your
I think
nature,
so. That's exactly.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Your nature is your genes. It's like kind of what you're genetically like. You know, I haven't spent a lot of time with my biological father, but if I as an adult, I've gone around my cousins who have spent more time with him and they're like, oh my God, you look just like your, you sound just like your dad when you did that, or your mannerism is so much like your dad. So that is the nature, right?
Right.
But the nurture is what was, how I was loved and
what
how
your
I
output
was taught
is. Yeah.
And, yeah.
But I think it belongs in the whole, we don't have to be blood to be family.
That's true.
Right.
And I think, is that in the nurture?
Camp. That would be in the
like our cat. Like, look, this is going to sound ridiculous, but my cats, our two cats, have witnessed me going through a lot of grief in life, lot of loss of, going through several people in my family that died. And I didn't realize how close I was getting with our cats.
Yeah.
Just there's there, like when you're feeling sad that, oh, there's a little cat right next to you, your buddy. And I'm like, fuck, they're always there, you know?
Yeah, they know.
And like, they make me better. Like they.
Yeah.
It's like in their nature, just in my nature. Like 2 days ago, I had to take our cat because he was constipated. He's got a megacolon. Megacolon, by the way, is a Pornhub channel.
Oh,
anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Look it up. That's not fun though.
It isn't, it's my nature to want to take care of them. And like, we've been through but
that's totally valid though.
Example.
I absolutely get
it. I feel about that with people too.
But I think, okay, so this is another thing that I definitely, I want to make sure that we have Sean back on, because Sean has incredible insight and questions into a lot of things that we've talked about necessarily in the past, but we haven't been able to get that perspective from someone who recently has had loss, but also is coming from a male perspective, that we want to have you back on the show if you're comfortable with that within the next like month or so, so that we can kind of dive into all that stuff. It might not be the most funny, happiest episode, but
look, this was fun. Let's not stretch. No, I'll be yes, of course. Yeah. Because that's all, like, not to get all dark and grim.
I mean, but we need to talk about it though.
The documentary, like, which is dark and grim.
Yeah.
But it's a whole nother thing, like managing.
Yeah.
Grief.
I think it's important. We had Cam on a while ago. We had a month where we talked about this stuff.
Of our farting with friends.
Cam will be. But we had a month where we were talking about this because of all the stuff that was going on in the house. But I feel like your perspective on it, also it being so recent, and you are very intuitive when it comes to all of this. You're very in touch. I know this sounds dumb because you're a comic and you make fun of things, but you are very in touch with... You're very deep, and I'm excited to talk to you about it. So I feel like I want to get more insight from you.
I think we all are. We just listen to ourselves. Like, that's, we all are.
Yeah.
Like, God, that's like, this is another episode, because I always wanted to talk to you as someone that's known me as long as you
have. Like, when I wanted to be a comic, before I even ever really went on the road and just dreamt of what's it like, you know, because that me wasn't me. Like, that was me pretending to be. I just, so much trial and error of shit, you know. And like,
I'm excited to talk to you about this
like another time, because I would love to hear your journey from, because this goes back to Mark's episode that just came out, but which, who you are also a friend of and have known for all these years. You guys are all in that circle.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We've
seen each other naked in comedy condos so all over times. The country.
He talked about how, if you want to get into it, if you want to get into the business, go. And he knew somebody that went to Warner Brothers and then went into the HR and said, hey, I want a job. And they're like, we've got this or that. And he took craft services. But
like, be around
he
it.
Was an animator. He was an animator. I said, animator. Yes.
He's an animator.
He's a portrayer. Anyway.
Tater salad.
But he got in there, worked craft services, and then ended up successful in his animation.
That's exactly how you do it.
You wanted to be a comic. Went to a
doorman.
Yeah, you went.
Yeah, because that's why. Because I read, like, back in the day out here, you know, at the Comedy Store in the 70s, Sam Kinison was a doorman. Yeah. Everyone, like, if you're a comedian, that's what you did. And I'm like, well, where's the nearest comedy club in Cleveland? You know, and
where's the best?
I think at the time, Hilarities was actually closed.
It was closed. Yeah.
So the Improv was the only game in town,
and it was best one at the time.
It was
the best.
I've always loved the Improv, but Hilarities is great too.
It is. Yeah, it's awesome.
It is now. Yeah.
Well, so anyway, we got to have you on like multiple times.
Yeah. I would love to talk about all that, because it is deeper and like making it lighter. Like, it doesn't have to be dark all the time.
No,
like,
yeah.
Well, the times I'm like full on depression and I'm like, I can laugh still.
You have to.
Like, something's funny.
We have
to. A fart sounded funny or something.
Yeah. Well, still always you're more of Brooks. That's Brooks jam. She likes farts.
Well, I named it Farting Around with Friends. That's so true.
You did. Yeah. I did. Why did I say you did? Like, I was in the meeting.
Because
you did.
You
I remember that.
I remember when you did that.
Anyway, let's conclude
you were in my
this
fart
meeting.
We do have to conclude this episode, though, because I...
No, I'm fucking around. I'm not... Oh, my God. How rude of me. Hey.
I'll just do what my grandma always said. Well, not much else going on around here.
Time for y'all to go.
Or, in other words...
Get the fuck out.
Yep.
No.
We're done with you.
Not much else.
We have to
going
go eat
on.
Dinner. I'm going to bring you leftovers tomorrow, but for you and Vicky.
No, I'll come and get them. No. If you made it, I'll come get it.
I didn't make
it.
Shit.
Because I think Vicky might be making something.
You know, I didn't make
We food swap.
Yeah, that's
which
we
is
do
exciting.
Food swaps. That's true.
Because your husband cooks and my wife love to cook, and they're always like.
And we're funny.
And we just eat.
That's right.
You eat and make us laugh.
We eat good. All right. Lovely, all right. Sean. Thank
you. Sean, thank you, honey, so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was fun. Thank you.
Moms are too.
Got something to tell ya.
Right now.
Today.
Oh. So Gray said the other day, my son Gray said.
How old is he again?
Tell the audience. Five.
Okay.
Gray, my son who's five, said to me the other day, Mommy, Daddy's at a 200 and you're at like a 99.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
What are you talking about here?
This is after, right? This is after the night
that I was like excavating rocks with him and slept with him in bed and did all these things. We had to sleep over. This is the day after this. And he says, but mummy, when you saw me poop and pee for the first time, you were at like a 300.
Well, then we know what his priorities are. We know how he gauges your
importance. Mm. His wife is screwed.
Oh, man.
Wow, you made it through the whole episode. We really appreciate that.
And you know what else we would really appreciate? If you went to Apple Podcast or wherever you listen and rate and review Moms Are Too.
It really helps us so much and lets other future listeners get an idea of what they're getting themselves into.
That's right. Moms Are Too is produced by Rob Adler with Brooklyn Frequency. Music by Kai Sample.